TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Nicola Charles and Rick Munn on today's news talk radio, TNT.
Okay, it's Thursday, 26th of January, 2023. And for all you lovely people down under, it's Australia Day. Happy Australia Day. Throw another shrimp on the barbie. She'll be right, mate. What do you think about that? Is that convincing, Nicola? Is that a convincing Aussie accent?
It's very convincing, but I would just like to warn you, please do not culturally appropriate Australians. It's extremely offensive, young man.
You're just a bunch of convicts that we kicked your asses out of the UK, stuck you on an island, and now look at you. Yeah, you're oppressed. You're still being oppressed by Albo. Not much has changed in Australia over the years, has it? But listen, I love you people. I feel like Donald Trump. I love you people. This morning, you're all great. I love Australia. Yay! Throw another shrimp on the barbie. I tell you what, neighbours, and you in particular, Nicola Charles, have a lot to answer for.
Neighbours has a lot to answer for. In what respect?
No, I'm only joking about the, how would you say, stereotyping. The stereotyping.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
A little bit like back against that. Yeah, I know you did, but it's a bit like the soaps in the UK. You have, you know, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, and, you know, Brookside. Look what Brookside did for Scousers. The same thing with Coronation Street and all that. People tend to take their cues from soap operas, especially if they're people from another country. But you know what? I had fond memories. I remember when I went to school, when I was in secondary school, Neighbours was a big thing. And back then, there was no internet and nobody had real exposure to other cultures. So the only way to really get that was to watch TV programs that were made in other places. So hence, that's why I think Neighbours was so big in the UK, for example, because we simply didn't know anything about Australia and we were a little bit curious. So it's all good.
Yeah, you didn't learn much about Australia from Neighbours, just FYI, but aside, the sun was shining.
That was it. And I learned a little bit about Melbourne as well. And I've said this before, my dear old dad, he emigrated out into Australia. He ended up in Melbourne for about 2 years in a place called Elsternwick. And also I had a great aunt who lived and died in Doveton in the UK as well. So, But anyway, it's Australia Day. We're here. We're live. And hopefully we're going to be talking about some issues that are very relevant today, as we always do. And it's also a talkback session. So if anybody out there is listening and you feel moved by what we're talking about, feel free to pick up the phone and give us a shout from Australia. It's 1-800-670-310. That's from Australia. From the UK, it's 033-0024-1026. And lastly, from the US of A, it's 1-888-201-6425. And how has your Australia Day been, by the way, over in Melbourne yourself, Nicola?
I've had a slightly sore head because we had our celebrations last night. So my Australia Day, like many people, involves a bit of a sore head, I've got to say. So I'm a bit fragile today, Rick.
So you don't want me to shout into the microphone then, is that right?
If you could refrain from doing so, that would be preferable. Sorry.
Actually, I think I've just blown Darren's eardrums out. I was having a little poke at you there, but I think Darren caught the worst of that. And Murray's not too bad. He's in the studio. He hasn't got his headphones on. So, and sorry, listeners, by the way, in case I raise the stress levels on any of you too. So, what we'll do is I think we'll cut to a quick sweeper here. Then Darren's going to jump in and we have something to discuss. And then we'll get down to business with the phone ins and our discussions at about 4:15. So stay with us here. And if you're moved, lift up the phone, give us a shout here on TNT Radio.
At the risk of being cancelled,
it's a battle for free speech against the left.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, historic strikes being waged at the moment by, or staged, should I say, by Amazon. Amazon workers stage historic strike. UK workers demanding a pay rise and better conditions, claiming that robots are treated better than humans in Amazon. Darren, is this true or is this just fake news?
I don't know why it's a historic strike. I think it's just a strike that's unusual or the first time that it's happened for Amazon, who do appear to be slave drivers or robot drivers. Amazon union workers in the UK are striking for the first time ever. They are complaining that their wages are below inflation-linked rates and are describing working conditions as severe. Members of the GMB union working at the retailer's workhouse in Coventry voted to hold a historic industrial action after Amazon offered a 50 pence per hour increase in pay last month. The workers have rejected what they call a derisory pay rise, demanding instead an increase to £15 per hour. Now, this historic strike, which is a 24-hour strike, began on Wednesday. It involved just 300 employees out of the 1,000 at that particular plant. Amazon have offered to increase pay now to between £10.50 and £11.45 per hour, which was described as a smack in the mouth considering the company's profits and spiraling inflation. These people had worked together through the pandemic that has seen Amazon shares go through the roof. They had seen the profits just become unimaginable, a company workhouse worker said. Someone the other day said that they were treated like robots. No, robots were treated better, was the response. And after consumers resumed pre-pandemic offline buying, the US tech giant is laying off, like Google, like Facebook, like Twitter, like all the big tech companies. Amazon is laying off 18,000 workers worldwide in a bid to adjust to a dramatic slowdown in online sales. The company has postponed also opening new warehouses in the UK and will be probably laying off 1,200 employees in this country. So big tech are suffering, and now they're having historic strikes with one third of their workforce, which was 300 people in the UK, Rick.
What do you reckon?
Interesting, interesting language there. That little slip, you said workhouse.
Yes, I caught that one too, the workhouse.
So it's interesting, actually, because I don't think people realize when they work for these enormous cabal companies, right? When you work for any of these companies that are sort of in the big company gang, the idea is that they become astronomically wealthy and you get bupkis. So when they're, you know, throwing their 50 pence at you and saying, there you go, you can get another 50 pence an hour and just behave yourself. And then you described it as a workhouse. I thought that was very appropriate. But yeah, the idea is not that us, the workers, the little people down here in the trenches, make much money. And I think we've reached a point in history where we're going to start to realize that. So I hope they do have a truly historic strike. I hope everyone does, because even in Australia, they're talking about, you know, we need to drop our salaries to compensate and bring the economy out of the pandemic. Four decisions politicians made, and they won't be getting a pay cut. So you go for it, Amazon workers in the UK. I'll be right behind you.
Yeah, and if there's any Amazon workers out there listening in, whether you be in Australia, America, or Europe, or the UK, and you want to call in, you can do so anonymously. Tell us what it's like.
Tell us the truth.
Tell us the warts and all story of what it's actually like to work for Amazon. I see, Darren, as well, in that strapline for this article, they claim that robots are treated better than them. I think that's maybe a little bit of a push of a statement, a bit dramatic. How can a robot be treated better than a human? Does the robot get £12 an hour? Does the robot get paid holidays? Does the robot get sick leave? No, I think it was a tongue-in-cheek statement, but I think that what they were inferring was, you know, they're treated no better than literal machinery. They're treated like production operatives, just people that are expected to clock in, clock out, and be robotic in their delivery of their job. And that in and of itself can be very soul-destroying as well. We had an Amazon delivery came here at the weekend. They were emailing us to say, okay, it's been dispatched, it's here, there. We could track the driver. We actually tracked the driver for about 20 minutes before he came to our house. And my wife said, he's turning the corner right now. And I stood up at the window and there he was turning the corner. And she said, he's due to make one stop before he gets here. And next thing, he pulled in, made a delivery. And then I was actually waiting for him at the gate. Now, if I can track that guy, okay, and I'm just a punter, how much more is his boss tracking him and every single thing that he does in the van? He's probably on camera in the van. He can't even pick his nose in peace, probably.
Yeah,
I wouldn't like that.
What's more interesting about that, Rick, is that Amazon driver, that's going to be us all in about 2 seconds. Two seconds. We're all going to be tracked like that. Where's Nicola Charles? Well, she just turned left on Smith Street. You know, she'll be with you in 4.5 minutes. It's literally like, it's really that kind of surveillance state. I know this is a bit off topic, but it's really not safe. It's not nice for that Amazon driver.
No.
But yeah, they have cameras in buses and everything, right? There's going to be no privacy at work. I imagine if you work in a factory and you're on the conveyor belt, the production line, there's going to be cameras on you watching your work. And they'll say, well, you weren't very productive. Your hands were moving too slowly.
Yeah. In the UK as well, I have a friend who's a postman and his van is tracked as well. So if his van stops for more than 3 minutes, I think at any one time, he gets a phone call from a supervisor saying, why aren't you moving? Because normally he has to go from house to house in a rural area and they reckon it should take no more than 3 minutes to drive up a drive, post the letters, get back in the van and start moving again. So even if he stops to take a leak or do his business, right? Yeah. while he's or something else while he's in the process, the phone could ring and the boss could be saying, hey, what are you doing right now? And yes, the surveillance state is very much alive and well. That's maybe something we can actually dig into a little bit deeper in this show here. But Darren, interesting topic. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thanks,
and it's
Sam.
Certainly causing food for thought. Big thanks to you, and I'll speak to you in another hour's time. That's Darren. I'm Rick, and Nicola Charles is also in the house here on Australia Day. This is TNT Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
President Trump, man, you know, he just has shined so much light on the corruption in the government of the U.S. and both parties in the U.S., Republican and Democrat. And I considered myself a Republican for a long time, but man, I don't back some of these guys in this Republican Party at all. Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, many of the senators. And I think the World Economic Forum is really happy that they figured out how they can steal elections in the U.S. because that's what communists do. They come in, they steal elections like we just saw in Brazil, just like we did in 2020 in the U.S., like we did in 2022. Remember, the House was supposed to be 40 new Republican House members. Instead, it was just barely enough to win the House. But it's not going to happen when you have elections that are being manufactured and stolen, votes thrown in that are just not even real people, and signature validations that are turned off, and no chain of custody on any of this. It's just an absolute mess.
Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Indeed. So we're talking about surveillance. We're talking about being watched. We mentioned Amazon workers, Royal Mail workers here in the UK. And even Nicola yourself, you referenced the fact that as you move about from A to B in Australia, you feel like you could be being watched. And you probably are in the UK where I live, in any large town. They have a series of police cameras pretty much at strategic points along every route, every arterial route. So technically, and I mean this, if I leave my house right now, within, I would say, 2 minutes walk, I'm on a main arterial route to the town centre. They can watch me travel along that route to the far side of town until I go into a rural area, or any left or right deviation from that main arterial route in the small town in which I live, although it's called a city, but there's only about 100,000 people lives in it. But that's the way it is here. I know you live a little bit out of the way in the sticks a little bit, but do you not find when you go into the towns and the cities, you feel like you're almost, you're like, ooh, I'm being watched?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that song always, you know, I always feel like somebody's watching me. It's so true. Mm-hmm. And I know they are, because I can sit in my car waiting for my husband, and I look around where I am in Melbourne, and I can see at least, and I take pictures of them and post them, 6 cameras looking at me. Mm-hmm. And it's just absolutely vile. And I actually feel a bit foolish, because when I was growing up in the UK, I loved that TV show Crime Watch. I'm sure you did as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember them talking about the rollout of these CCTV cameras all over London. And they do very much look like these little round kind of black eye in the sky, mm-hmm, ball thing hanging off a lamppost that have arrived in Australia. And I remember they said that, you know, you couldn't really get away with a crime, at least in central London, because you could be tracked. You know, you'd run around one corner and the cameras would pick you up on the other side. And I remember, you know, I'm a conservative, I remember thinking, gee, that's a good thing. That will be so helpful for crime. That will keep the bad guys off the streets. And I didn't think for one second that would be used in any way to, you know, form any kind of digital record or digital ID of innocent citizens, because I always very strongly believed that for those kinds of things to occur, they needed a warrant. But of course, privacy and needing a warrant and having to go to a judge because you have, you know, legitimate suspicion of wrongdoing or a crime, that seems to have gone out of the window. Now it's a free-for-all and we can just spy on people. Now, when I was growing up, that was called stalking. That was called being a peeping Tom. Well, now we've got the government peeping Tomming, right? They literally, I wouldn't be surprised if some of these cameras can look through somebody's front window. And I also worked for a long time in the automotive industry, and I did notice over a period of time that windshields on cars became unnecessarily big and long. So now you've got the shorter bonnet and you've got these enormous windscreens, and just standing at the traffic lights, you can see what's on someone's dashboard. You can see their hand on the gear shift. You can see whether they've got their sunglasses and their lollies in between the two front seats. There's no privacy. And I think these car windscreens were designed ahead of the cameras wanting to look in the cars, Rick.
I actually agree. And if you think about it, we have referenced this in passing in the last few weeks when we were talking about Teslas. You were talking about how quiet they were and how it was possible just to get ran over when you were out shopping because you can't hear them coming. But we also talked about the windscreens on those Teslas, how it felt like, it looks like the people that are driving them are actually sitting in a bubble because the windscreen is scooped very, very low. And as you've referenced, a short bonnet and a long windscreen. So if anyone is driving a Tesla, and even the side windows as well, you can see very clearly into the car, even if you're just walking past it. So possibly, yes, this could be to aid observation to see what's actually in the place. And yeah, they could certainly look through your front windows. Think about Google Earth as well. Don't forget, they had squads, legions of vans driving around the whole world with cameras mounted on top of them.
Well, now we know why, don't we?
Taking photos of your house, taking photos of your street, and all that information had to be stored somewhere. Those guys driving around in the vans, literally recording every street and every house front, and then putting it onto a centralized database that literally, if I knew your address, and strangely, I referenced that my dad lived in Elsternwick. He told me I know the actual address of the house he stayed in 1968. Yeah. I was actually able to go onto Google Earth and zoom in and take a snapshot of that and send it to my dad and said, is that the house you used to live in Elsternwick? He was, yeah, that's the place. That's
He's
where
like,
we
how
all
the
lived.
Hell did you do that?
Exactly. Yeah. So if I can do that, Nicola, how much more information is at those sneaky governmental fingertips? Who knows?
Well, yeah, they're doing more even in Melbourne. So we had this system for a long time. Isn't it interesting? It's like we're doing a jigsaw puzzle and I feel like we've got the corners in place now and we're just building the sides. It's going to come together. We're going to, you know, it's all going to be found out. And I wonder how that's going to go down. But in Melbourne, they have this system. It's called Mikey, where you buy sort of, it's like a travel card, a travel credit card, and you top it up with money and you can jump on the trains and the buses. And kids use it to get to and from school and all that kind of thing. Now, I didn't even think or contemplate that when you travel on a Mikey card, even though there's cameras in all the trains, it's essentially an anonymous travel, right? Why wouldn't it be? You're just tapping on, tapping off. Well, now Dan Andrews is seeking to change the setup, to change the he's looking at building this framework and this infrastructure so that you don't need all these Mikey cards and all of this stuff that costs millions of dollars to the taxpayers to build this Mikey system is apparently all going to be thrown out the window now. And he's just going to let you tap on and tap off with your credit card. Now, you know, on the face of it, you'd say, oh, well, that's a lot easier than having to stand at the machine and buy a travel card. Well, yes, it is. But what does that mean? It means there is no anonymous travel anywhere. Right.
No, there. Even when you're buying your groceries, I don't know what it's like in your part of the world, but here now, they're trying their damnedest to get rid of humans in the checkouts. So they're trying to shove people towards self-service checkouts.
Yes.
But now what they have is they have little cameras mounted. So while you're scanning your goods, they're videoing your face while you're doing it. Yeah, seriously. So a lot of people are actually, they're taking pieces of paper with them and sellotaping them on or sticking them, post-it notes, sticking them onto the camera. But think about this. Listen, you're doing that, right? What the hell kind of a world do you and I live in where you have to bring a sticky note to the supermarket to stick on a camera while you self-service yourself checking your goods out of the supermarket? It's ridiculous. What will they be? What will we be doing in another year's time to preserve our anonymity? It's nuts.
And I have severely embarrassed all of my children because of this issue. I find it a massive imposition. So what I do is that, you know, they do this horrible thing in Australia where there's a trash bin right next to where you're putting your food across the gym. There's always like people's snotty tissues in there. In the age of COVID, it's like, oh, good one. Anyway, I'm so gross. I just grab a receipt out of there, someone's old receipt, and I fold it over and I put it over the camera. Often with my children, the manageress, the supervisor comes over and goes, they say to me, well, I'm terribly sorry. Was that on there when you arrived? And I say, no, I put it there. And she's like, oh, why would you do that? I said, because I'm $10,000 a day and I haven't signed a contract with you. So you're not allowed to film me or put me on film in any way. And that sort of blows their mind because then they look at me like, oh, who is she? And I said, look, you video me when I walk in the door. You video me when I walk out the door. You know it's me because I've paid with my card. Why on earth do you need to photograph my double chin while I'm scanning the product? It's ridiculous.
It is. And something that's triggering me to mind here. Somebody actually, this was brought up on one of the Locked and Loaded shows I did about 6 months ago. Apparently what you can do is if we could get enough people to do this, if you go to a supermarket, you are within your rights to ask for any video footage that they hold of you within the last 7 days, for example. And if they ask you, well, when were you in Nicola? Which day in particular? Say, I can't remember, but it was within the last 7 days. Apparently, under freedom of information and data protection, they have to then sift through all the CCTV footage and look for you on the cameras and compile a little movie of all your appearances. Yeah, of all your appearances in the supermarket. Now, if enough people were to do that, it would become such an almighty pain in the ass that they would soon do away with scanning people literally from the moment they come in through the checkouts until the moment that they leave. But the thing is, people aren't aware of this. And I think
I feel a campaign coming on.
Yeah, for definite. But they prey on people's ignorance of the fact that they can ask for these things. And it's like anything else, if you get enough people doing it, you can clog that system up. You can make it absolutely unworkable for them because you're not doing anything wrong. Remember, it's within your rights to ask for that under data protection and under freedom of information. But again, who knows about it? That's the problem. People are too busy talking about Djokovic in the Australian Open, for example, or you and I could be talking about Amazon, when in reality, there's things that we can be doing that can really screw up the machine, everyday things. So maybe there's a possible campaign there indeed to break their surveillance systems, at least in the supermarkets, and then maybe we can throw the net further afield. So listeners, I don't know if you're hearing this and you feel like you're being watched, if you feel like you've had a bad experience under these cameras, or you feel like you're being mistreated by your employer, by all means, you can lift up the phone and give us a call about that. I think what we'll do is we'll throw it to throw the news break in now because we have a lot of other things I think we need to be discussing here, and you've plenty to say. I know that, and so do I. So we'll take a little break now, and when we come back, we'll carry this on. And yeah, if you feel led to give us a shout, please feel free to do so here on TNT Radio.
The conversation continues.
You guys are awful positive today for what we're witnessing. It's that division that they want to push.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has been chased down by an angry mob of protesters demanding his resignation. A hospital director, a high school football coach, and a professional hockey player are among 46 men arrested in a covert sex trafficking sting in Texas. And Moscow has warned any American battle tanks that are sent to Ukraine will be destroyed by Russian forces.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yes, indeed. And a shout out to all the people in our live chat at the moment, which, by the way, is available via our website, tntradio.live, or via our app, TNT Radio app, which you can download on the Google Play Store or the App Store. So, Antonia, good morning to you, or good evening. Mazzy, Brooksy Brooks, Holly, some other people there that I can't quite read the names of them. Northern Nets, Skippy is in there. So a lot of people in there in the chat, and they're typing away furiously. So thank you very much for all your contributions. Nicola, what else is going on? What's burning a hole in that heart of yours today?
Well, it's something you sent me earlier, and it's in the Scottish Daily Express, and this is probably going to be one of my career-ending pieces, but here we go. This does get me fired up slightly, obviously, as a woman. So a transgender double rapist. God,
yep.
Getting my insults mixed up here. A transgender double rapist sent to a woman's prison after transitioning during the court case. Oh, wasn't that a smart person?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you believe?
And it's happening, by the way. This isn't a made-up story. This is in Scotland. This is happening in Scotland. It's been widely reported on this week. Background is this guy who's got all his bits and bobs. He hasn't had anything removed, or he hasn't had any surgery or anything like that. He's a double rapist. He's been locked up in a woman's prison because he claims from the age of four he has had gender issues, and therefore it would be wrong to lock him up with men when he thinks he's a woman, and therefore he should be with women. So they have a man, a double rapist, locked up in a woman's prison. And when he went to court, it was comical because when you see the guy in the mugshot, he's like a skinhead and he's got a big facial tattoo like Mike Tyson. He looks like an absolute psychopath. But when he went to court, he was wearing a wig, he was wearing his little mini skirt, his high heels, and he had a big set of false nails on as he was pleading with the jurors not to be so wicked and cruel and send him to a men's prison. He deserved to be with a woman. And Nicola, he's going to a woman's prison. A man with a you-know-what is going to a woman's prison to be locked up with women for the crime of double rape. It's happening in Scotland today, and it's accepted, by the way. It's being accepted.
No, this is appalling. As a woman, I'm appalled by this. This is someone who's clearly gaming the system, okay? So you need to take this person's criminality on board above and beyond any kind of gender issues. Now, as far as I'm concerned, look, if two people get into a street fight, I have members of my family, close members of my family, who are black belts in karate, like seventh Dan black belts, okay? You can't get into a street fight and be a seventh Dan black belt, because even if you were only defending yourself, you're going to get sent down, because being a black belt is considered having a deadly weapon. Now, I consider a man who has used his manhood as a weapon against women, who still has that manhood, then being placed into a woman's prison, you're essentially putting him inside there with a weapon that can be used against those women.
Correct.
And so, look, if he was the real deal, and I believe the real deal doesn't just virtue signal and talk about it. This is the problem with all these identity politics, right? Because I could be a boy tomorrow, go back to a girl the next day, and, you know, keep going however it benefited me best. And that's what we're seeing here with this case, which is just appalling. Because anyone who is genuinely transitioning, then they're accepted as the sex they've transitioned into after they've had the surgery, okay? Because we can all dress up as someone. It's not dress ups for 5-year-olds. These are women's safety that's been put at risk here. How did the Crown Prosecution Service, whoever they are in Scotland, how on earth can the prison system, how on earth can any judge legitimately jail this man who is entire? You know, I breed dogs. He's considered an entire male. How can you put him in a prison with females? It's just absolutely, again, I talked about this in the last hour. This is a dereliction of duty by the powers that be. They're just playing with us now. Surely this was deliberate, Rick.
Well, it's interesting, Nicola, that it's happening in Scotland. And over the course of the last few weeks, since we've been doing these shows together, we've highlighted that certain parts of the world have been the pioneers for certain wicked practices. Like you've lived in Victoria, the most lockdown place on earth at one stage. I believe New Zealand, Australia and Canada were the blueprints for lockdown, experimentation worldwide that they were used as test beds. Vaccine passports. Israel were used as the pioneers for vaccine passports. Ireland, England, and Europe are being used as the test beds for these mass immigration, illegal immigration acceptance projects. And now we have Scotland. Now, this issue that you brought up about this guy in the court who's been sentenced to serve for rape, double rape in a women's prison. In Scotland, they're completely overhauling their gender laws. So it used to be if you were transitioning, you would have to live at least 2 years as your transitioned sex. So if I was a guy, it had to be 2 years living. Now it's been reduced down to, I think it's 3 months or something like that. Oh, and kids in schools can now identify as whatever they like, tell their teachers that, and the teachers don't have to tell it to the parents from age four and upwards. So to me, Scotland.
Abuse.
It is child abuse. To me, Scotland is being used as a test bed for this particular issue. And this is the worst possible manifestation of this particular issue, where you have biological male that, you, as you say, has weaponized his body against women, being locked up in a women's prison. And listen, we know what goes on in prisons anyway. They're places of a lot of extreme violence. A lot of sexual violence happens in prison between men and between women. But here we have a male, literal sexual predator who's been arrested and tried and charged for a double rape, being locked up in a women's prison. Like, what happens, for example, what happens if this guy rapes another woman in the prison? Who's ultimately should be held responsible for that? It's surely the fault should lie with the prison system and the judiciary system for putting them there in the first place.
Yeah, but all of these people are being governed by, as days go by, I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's almost as if our leaders, our elites, you know, all of them, that they've discovered some sort of crazy drug, right? They're all on this crazy drug, and it's just making them do things that are absolutely appalling and outrageous and totally unacceptable to the general public. And so we have to steady this ship ourselves. We have to call this out and tell them that this is unacceptable. Just like the woke agendas in school with children, we cannot have men in women's prisons and vice versa. And, you know, the fact that this has been allowed to go on is just incredible, because he would be in the general population having lunch with these women, potentially even sharing a cell. I mean, that's what happens in jail. Two or three or four people are in a cell. You bunk up. You know, and who knows what will go on in the dead of night. And yeah, who is responsible for that at the end of the day? And I'm sure they'd wriggle out of it and say, oh, well, you know, he told us he identified as a woman. Well, if you've still got working parts as a male, I believe it, while those working parts are still in full working order, then you should not be allowed in with females. Yeah, that is a disgrace.
At the very least, he should be castrated and his bits and bobs chopped off if he wants to go and inhabit a women's prison. That's what I think. That way,
we'd
can
know,
still,
wouldn't we, if he was serious.
We would know if he was serious, but he can still assault women, though. That's the problem, whether or not he's got those bits and bobs or not. Now, here's the other thing, as we're talking about this, we're looking at this very much from the injustice part of view, the insanity part of view. But if you are in a prison, okay, if you've ever had any exposure to the prison system, everybody knows ultimately what everybody else is in for. So the prison officers will usually find out in advance, okay, we have an inmate coming in today. It's a double rapist, okay? And the women are like, what, a double rapist? What do you mean, like a female double rapist? It's like, no, it's a guy. And where's he going? He's coming in here. That will cause a huge amount of anxiety and tension and friction among the inmates as they wait for this person to arrive, because be under no illusion, they will know exactly who this person is and why they're in. And it will create an atmosphere of, I would say, extreme anxiety, if not terror, among some or many of those women, which will further add to their anxiety of being locked up in the first place. It's got so many disgusting elements to it. I just refuse to believe this is happening on planet Earth in 2023.
I know. It's a literal cat among the pigeons, right? Imagine among the pigeons. You throw a big line in there with some baby lambs. You know, it's just crazy. I think they're almost, our leaders have gone insane. They've lost the plot. They've gone quite mad. They're doing things that don't make any sense. I think it's definitely meant to sort of discombobulate us and throw us into utter confusion and dismay and horror and depression and fear and worry, and it's succeeding. And what's really sad is that you see people jumping on board with these agendas and these beliefs because they say, oh, well, you know, the government says it's okay. And then, you know, they fail to realize that they need to question why the government is saying that's okay. And the thing is, and then they, you know, it brazenly appears on the front page of the newspaper. So they absolutely want you to know about it. They absolutely want you to know that the world is going to hell. And so, of course, I tend to look at the bigger picture as to why that is. But, you know, these individual stories have to be looked on their own merit as well. And I just hope, I mean, is he still there? Is he in a woman's prison, or is this something that has been resolved? It's just crazy.
No, it hasn't been resolved. No, I haven't got the article right here to hand. Actually, we could bring it up, but it's been widely reported, the name of the prison that he's actually being sent to as well. It was recorded in the Daily Mail and the Scottish Recorder, all the major newspapers. So it's actually happening. And here's that's the thing. He's 31, I think, is it? Is that what he is?
31, said, High Court in Glasgow.
Right, okay. So the other thing is too, and you would think this is the type of policy that would be driven by men. But Nicola Sturgeon, who's the First Minister of Scotland, there seems to be a lot of driving of this and a lot of support of this coming from women themselves, which doesn't help much.
It
adds a little bit of, how would you say, not credibility, but it adds weight to their argument when they can point around and say, well, it's not men that are agreeing with this man being sent to a women's prison. The First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, is perfectly happy with it. Does that not, how would you say, add to the not validity? You know what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, the weight of it. Yeah.
Women are on board with this, Nicola.
Yeah, so this person who was known as Adam would meet women on a dating site and attack them at their flats, but then went on to say that they changed their mind, and it's, you know, she's now a she. Told jurors that she no longer enjoyed sleeping with women. Well, I don't think rape is really sleeping with women. It's not really the same thing. And the jurors obviously lapped it up, and they use as an excuse that Bryson's marriage to a woman, so obviously did like women quite a lot at one point, had ended after a very long time, as if we should have sympathy for this person becoming a rapist. But the victim said she thought she could fall head over heels in love with Adam and had no idea that he wanted to transition. So this seems like someone gaming the system to me, Rick.
Yeah, for definite. And I think the government are specifically putting loopholes there to make it easier to game the system. Like I said, you now no longer have to live for 2 years as your transition type. It can now be done on a self-certification basis after 3 to 6 months. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but they've cut the time down. They've made it easier. They've fast-tracked it, if you will, especially in Scotland. And they were trying to roll this out across the UK, in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland also. But they've met with a lot of resistance from those countries. It seems to be, like I said, Scotland seems to be the hotbed for this one. So it's a sick story, but I think, to be honest with you, it's one that we'll see more of popping up throughout 2023 as the lunacy continues to set in. And it's accepted. You know, people should be on the streets for this. People should be standing outside the Parliament or the Courts of Justice saying this is an abuse of power. But they're not, Nicola. They're just sitting back, as people do, engrossed engrossed in their own little worlds and maybe hoping that other people will step up to the plate and speak out on their behalf rather than taking to the streets themselves. So we'll take another little break now. I think we have a lot more things that I want to try and squeeze into this remaining time that we'll have here together on TNT Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
Well, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we have survived yet another day on planet Earth of catastrophic global warming because of man. Now, that's the good news. We're all still alive, at least if you're hearing this, I assume you're alive. The bad news, of course, is that according to this crowd, tomorrow is coming, and then the day after tomorrow, and then the day after tomorrow, and each day is getting warmer, and we're more perilous. Now, when was the last time we had a warm month in Australia? Well, that's interesting. Looks like back in April or May, we had a little bit warmer than normal. And what of Africa? Anybody look at Africa? They've been cooler than normal. Now, as far as Australia goes, well, warn folks in Australia, we are about to flip this La Nina to El Nino. And that means that things are going to be considerably drier and considerably warmer. So with all this cool weather that Australia's had, I realize you've been out of the climate spotlight for a while. Rest assured, you'll probably be in it again quite soon. The good news is, of course, that if you're back in it soon, we're still all surviving. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
It's not a texting the wife seat, a scrolling through your playlist seat, or a taking a call that could be your next job seat.
Hello, Mike's Plumbing.
It's not a replying to the boss's email seat, or a school letting you know about your sick kid's seat. It's a driver's seat. If there's someone or something that needs your attention and it can't wait, pull over first, because no one's driving if you're distracted. A message from the Government of South Australia.
You're with Nicola Charles and Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we've heard about the Great Reset. We've heard about the Great Reveal. And now they're talking about the Great Resignation. Okay, this is an article that appeared in the Brownstone Institute just yesterday. The Great Resignation in a Collapsing Health System. So I think this is a double whammy we have here, Nicola. We have the scamdemic of the last 3 years that has resulted in, you know, hospital appointments, cancer screenings being cancelled. They claim massive strain being placed on the health service, people off sick, people being sacked, don't forget, because they wouldn't get injected. They were sacking their own healthcare workers in the middle of a so-called global pandemic. But now we have the Great Resignation. So in an increasing number of countries all over the world, chaos and despair is rising. People are more frequently ill, dying at higher rates than the last 50 years. And at the same time, health services systems are deteriorating. We need to rethink the humanness of health systems versus cold technological solutions. Is this not part of the plan? It's a double squeeze. They want less of us on the face of the planet. So what better way to do it than to attack us via vaccines and via lockdowns causing mental health and suicides? And then when people actually do want help, when they do get sick or when they do need support, it's not there because the services have either collapsed or there's no one there to speak to them. It's a win-win from the globalists side, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely a win-win. And I actually got a message about that last thing we did as well from a listener saying that if we're allowed to identify as anything, I identify as a free thinker awake to government corruption. Exactly. What can we identify as? Anything at all. So I scrolled down in this story and it was very interesting because one of the things they say is adding to the pressure on the healthcare system, but it's way, way down the story here from the Brownstone Institute, is the excess disabilities among people between 16 and 64 years old. That's interesting to me because we're hearing a lot about the excess death, and obviously that's appalling. But what about the living? Okay, the excess death numbers are bad enough, but it's looking like the excess disabilities are also part of this crushing pressure on the healthcare system. Now, I've said before, you know, we were told by Greg Hunt on a morning television program in Australia that you're about to enter the largest human trial, the biggest vaccine trial in human history, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden, when it ends, it was always due to end this trial in February 2023. Suddenly they're telling us, oops, sorry, we don't have any healthcare to take care of you. You can't possibly do that to people. Okay. You can't possibly put them in a trial and then not back it up with care afterwards. I mean, it really does smack of the Pfizer trial, doesn't it? Where there were people that were horrendously sick from it, that they hid from the public, particularly that lovely teenage girl who's like a paraplegic and nothing works. She's fed through a tube and all that kind of stuff, just horrendous. And they didn't take care of her, and her mom had to go to the Senate hearing to complain about it. And again, you know, just like, I think her name was Maddie, just like Maddie, who are these people now with excess disabilities and why? Because the interesting thing, isn't it, with disability, obviously it can be caused by an accident from an external issue, usually from birth. And so if these are people who've had a non-disabled life up to 2020, 2021, and now suddenly the list of excess disabilities is much greater, again, that can only lead to one conclusion. So how on earth do they expect us to cope? What is their explanation when they get up on the podium? How are we supposed to cope with all these cardiac health problems, all these sudden deaths, all this mortality, and now excessive disability as well? Who exactly is going to do that? If you're to believe the Australian government, it's going to be non-English speaking overseas nurses who won't even be able to communicate with particularly older Australians.
Yeah. You see, here's the thing. Take just one aspect of healthcare, for example, cancer treatment. Okay. In the UK, there's a humongous backlog in the NHS at the minute. You're talking 6 million people that are waiting to see a consultant for some type of illness within their body. So that's roughly almost a tenth of the population is waiting to see a consultant. Now, the NHS head of oncology was on record before Christmas as saying, no matter what we throw at this, no matter how much money we throw at this, no matter how many doctors we bring in from overseas or newly qualified doctors we throw at this, we will never get through the backlog that has built up over the last 2 to 3 years because of the scandemic. Now, that's the head of oncology saying there's absolutely no way we're ever going to deal with this backlog, even if we throw the kitchen sink at it. And that's just one particular area, Nicola. Mental health is another one. Look at kids. Look at the mental abuse the kids have suffered over the last 2 to 3 years, the increase in eating disorders, the increase in self-harm, the increase in depression, the increase in suicides among younger people that have happened because of government policy. Mental health services can't cope with that either. Outpatients can't cope. People are being sent to A&E because their GPs won't see them because they're still afraid of COVID-19 and they're still sitting with their face masks on in doctor's surgeries. These are so-called medical professionals that are being paid God knows how much money and incentivized to jab people by getting £15 per shoulder for every injection and 25 quid if they were under 16 years of age. What kind of a disaster zone is the health service? And I'm just talking about the UK here, by the way. I'm sure you have your own horror stories of what it's like over in Oz.
Yeah, it's interesting because I did always suspect that the NHS would be taken down. During my 7 years in the USA, obviously there were a lot of people pushing for universal healthcare. And obviously with over 320, 30, 40 million people in the USA, that's not something the government is prepared to pay for at all. So I did foresee myself a situation where the NHS, which was always held up as a reason for universal healthcare, they would always say, well, all the British people have it, they have the NHS. And then British people would fire back when interviewed and say, no, you know, people wait on the waiting list for 2 years to get a triple heart bypass, and usually they're dead before that day. So I did sort of envisage this, but what's really sad is that you can get seen for your cancer and you can get seen for your depression. In fact, you can get seen for anything you want to because the infrastructure for healthcare is there in the UK if you've got money. So this is a situation, again, where we're separating out those of means who can pay $200,000 for a cancer, you know, a round of cancer treatment early on when it's most beneficial before it's metastasized. And then you've got a whole bunch of people who, unfortunately, just like at the post office, will have to wait in the queue and they might not get to the end of that queue. And I do think that that's deliberate because that is the sort of healthcare setup that you see in America. If you are lucky enough to be able to afford, and I'm sure a lot less Americans right now can afford it, you have to buy your sort of Blue Cross healthcare. And it's, you know, a large part of your income, and then you can be seen. And even then it's just regular, you know, it's nothing special. I was there and I had Blue Cross for 7 years. But if you've got no money and no healthcare, ambulances will literally leave you, you know, stabbed on the side of the road, bleeding to death. And so I think that's a horrible future that people could be facing in the UK, and they're just nudging us towards it day by day.
Yeah. I mean, the NHS is a massive boulder around the neck of the government when it comes to funding it. And let's face it, it's funding's not a problem with the NHS. The problem is squandering whatever funds that they have made available to them. So the amount of money that's spent on middle management, people that don't actually really do anything, diversity officers being paid £120,000 a year, you know, money being pumped overseas, for example, to Ukraine and into £37 billion test and trace apps for phones. That could have built God knows how many hospitals and employed who knows how many nurses and doctors to deal with any alleged backlog that they had there, which was by their own creation, by the way. And yes, private healthcare, there's a private hospital not too far away from me in a reasonably affluent area in Belfast, but I have seen it in the last 2 years extended twice. There's an undertaker I keep referencing to you. He lives just around the corner from me. He's doing great business at the minute. He's had two extensions onto his funeral parlor. He's even bought himself horses and carts, big black horses and carts for traditional funerals. But the hospital, the private hospital at the other side of me, has also had two massive extensions. And there's coach loads. I drive past it a few times a week. There's coach loads of people being dropped off there for private treatment coming up from the Republic of Ireland into the north because they can't get any treatment either. But they're the people with the money. If you're broke and you're getting it tight at the minute, you're an Amazon worker or you're wanting an extra 50p an hour or 50 cents an hour in your wages, you ain't going to get that treatment that you need, and you're either going to be in pain or you're going to get turbo cancer to death, because that's another thing. We're talking about cancer here because of these jabs. By the time you actually get there, even if you could get seen by a public doctor, could be saying, well, you know what, normally we could do something for you, but you're at stage 3, stage 4, it's metastasized all over your body. Sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. Just go home and, you know, make your will and enjoy what little time you have left. What a horror story.
Yeah, it is a horror story. And I think what breaks my heart as well, particularly for kind of middle-aged people and up, who've always been sort of good citizens and, you know, paid their taxes and done as they were told, they're going to see, if they're not sort of awake to larger issues politically and globally, economically, the World Economic Forum and all that stuff that's going on, even if they're just thinking locally and about their own lives, they're going to get to a point where the people that they believed when they told them every single minute of every single day, we're going to keep you safe from COVID, we're going to take care of you, you're our priority, this is our duty, we're going to find a cure, we just need you to lock down. These people that use the word safe and help and health suddenly drop those words like a hot stone and just use terms like terribly sorry, no funds, understaffed.
Yeah, the rhetoric changes to suit the narrative, and they're very good at dancing around these topics. The PR campaigns for the government that they have and the NHS PR people are very good at deflecting away for what the real issues actually are. We're nearly up to time here. Just I suppose we should tail this off with a little bit of a look at Australia, just very briefly. Albanese in particular, he's a guy who seems to go AWOL for long periods of time. You don't see him very often, and then he might pop up in Indonesia, or he might pop up somewhere else. But of course, he's popped out of his little hole today because it's Australia Day. So he's everywhere. Yes. He's shaking hands. There's a poster he's put on his own Twitter page. Today, I had the honour of handing Chimbu Igopkwe her Australian citizenship. Chimbu's family chose Australia because of our national values of equality, fairness, and respect. Is he talking about a different Australia, or is this the Australia that you're living in at the minute? They're one family among more than 19,000 people who are becoming Australian citizens today. So he's there shaking hands with them. There's a parade of people being given their citizenship. He's naming people Australian of the Year. I don't know how people qualify for that award in particular. I've seen that the lady that has got the award this year is got it because of awareness for body consciousness. But some people are saying, who is this woman? It's great what she's doing, but we've never heard of her before. And now all of a sudden, she's the Australian of the Year. Albo's telling us who the Australian of the Year is. He's welcoming people in. He's throwing words about like fairness and equality after he's destroyed, or not him, well, his predecessor, ScoMo and co have destroyed. And the Labour Party, by the way, Albo's henchmen in Victoria, old Andrews.
Dan Andrews.
They wrecked the place. Where does this freedom, equality and fairness come from? Is it a different policy they have for different people?
I think we're, you know, coming to Australia is a different thing now than it was a while ago. So just be very careful what you wish for, because at this point in history, coming to Australia is all well and good if you're prepared to be robotically told what to do by government. And if you fall like a square peg into a square hole, then you're more than welcome. But, you know, just a heads up, it could be a trap. Just really be careful what you wish for. You know, look at those T's and C's, those terms and conditions at the bottom of the page. They are actually quite strict. Look, I wish anyone who comes to Australia a wonderful life. She was previously a great country, and I really hope that in the future we can get her back there, because I do love Australia.
Make Australia great again. MAGA, exactly. I can see it. Or has that one already been taken by someone else called Trump? But anyway, we can come up with our own slogan. Let's make Australia great again. Let's think about that. Listeners, give us some ideas. We're going to try and implement them when we come back. I'm not here, by the way, tomorrow, so I don't know what you're going to be doing tomorrow. I'm off to England to that comedy festival with Darren on TNT's behalf. But anyway, you get yourself to an early night tonight, Nicola. Take some painkillers, drink plenty of water. I think you're suffering a little bit, and you'll probably be back on the microphone tomorrow. So thank you for joining me today on Australia Day. It's been a pleasure. Listeners, I'll be back after the news with Mark Molloy. We're going to get tour in to Ireland and the shenanigans and skullduggery that's going on there on TNT Radio.